Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini. During the coronavirus situation, we are addressing various aspects of how to think and respond from a biblical perspective. Here's another podcast on that topic today from family pastor Scott Torres.
This is Scott Torres. I want to thank you for joining with us. Today, again, we're with Rob Williams. He is the counseling pastor at Emmanuel Bible Church in Springfield, Virginia. Rob, welcome.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for joining us. In our last session, we talked a little bit about what are some of the things you're seeing. And I don't know if you explicitly said this. I think you did, but I just want to state it. And then maybe we can talk about the three of these different things that maybe we're seeing. One of those was relationships. What's going on in relationships as a result of the coronavirus and, you know, everything that's entailed with it. Money, the effect on money, personal money, income, things like that. And then health. People are getting sick. People are dying. So the coronavirus, these three areas that you mentioned, are being affected. So we talked a little bit about relationships, and let's just dive down a little bit more with that. You mentioned that you had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And so if I'm a parent and I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old and it's been 7 weeks pretty much in lockdown, I'm experiencing all kinds of things. We said this in our last session together. We talked about the circumstance really reveal what's there in our heart. But if you're a parent, would you give us some, as a parent, so, and speaking to parents, would you give us some perspective in this type of situation? You got a 4-year-old, 2-year-old. You can identify with us. What would you say to parents like myself?
I think I experienced a lot of the things that we talked about on the last episode. My family had the coronavirus, and now I'm cleared and we're all able to go about, and I am back at work. And, I think that was, alleviating some of the interaction, but there were 3 weeks or so, if not a month, of working at home and having that tension of, physically being present and my kids thinking, Dad's home. I can go find Dad. If the door is closed and the door is locked, well, that just means I need to knock harder and Dad just can't hear me. So I'm having meetings, having counseling sessions on Zoom. And I think that, it became disruptive to me trying to do the things. But I think the one thing, three words that came to my mind in all of the interactions, employee to employer, and the other way, spouse to spouse, parent to kid, I think grace, mercy, and forgiveness, those are words that have to be primary in our meditation, primary in our interactions with one another, because I don't sit in this office counseling and fight my kids at the door, knocking, wanting to come in, wanting to play, wanting to go out in the yard, but they don't have this understanding that Dad's at work, and I think the frustration for me can grow. And what's that saying about me? I assumed that people had a higher expectation of me. I should be looking professional, maybe not sitting in my pajama pants with a button-up shirt on, but I should be delivering the same thing. And what I kept hearing from people who are coming to see me for counseling are, they were saying it to me, it's okay, Rob, when they would see me like turn and try to talk to my kids at the door and tell them, hey, you can't keep knocking. They were telling me, it's okay. We get it. We're at home too. And I think that's where being gracious, like even people who are coming to me for help are reminding me of the good news that they're believers. They can be gracious. They can be merciful with me. And when there are, less than pleasant, maybe sinful interactions, that there's still the relational step of engaging one another on forgiveness and I haven't had it happen to me, but even counseling now has a different dynamic. So working through video, people just aren't able to read rooms and read one another. And I've heard of other counselors having to ask forgiveness from their counselees because they say things because of a read they thought they had. And it again, I think Christians are able to reconcile those things, and whatever bit of communication that we have here, I think it's helpful to get into a normal relationship. Sorry.
All right. So you're fine. So you gave us three words, and I really love those words in dealing with relationships, especially spouse to spouse, parent to kid, employer to employee. Those three words were grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And I think those are great reminders, especially for me, to hear those words in dealing with relationships. All right. So let's look at now money, the effect of the coronavirus. And now let's say money and a person's perhaps livelihood, their income. What would you speak to that? What would you say to someone that's maybe experiencing the pinch of that?
So we need money to exist, and certainly God provides for us people through the work that we do, and certainly a slowdown. You think of the outside world, economy slowed down, the threat that is to our being. And I think in all of these things, you can appeal to God's presence and God's care. God, I think in the slowdown of the economy, maybe, tighter budgets, I think in all of those things, I would ask, what is that exposing about me? And certainly not knowing how churches are going to fare. Do we have jobs and we both get paid, through Christian organizations, and if giving is down, if people are working less, that there's this sense in me that, well, we live on the generosity of other people. If they have less and they have less to even be generous with, then, well, what about me, God? How am I going to pay bills? And I think the reminder is that God's care, God's gift giving, character is still for us, and his faithfulness to provide hasn't changed. And I think it exposes in me the reliance I have on money, on my ability to accomplish things. And that's really just a house of cards. It can be gone in less than 8 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the reminder of relying on God's presence, his provision, and his care for us certainly centers my attitude, because I can, if I'm not good at something, it is most certainly money. I'm not good at managing. I'm not good at math. I don't like money. And there's times late at night, apart from the coronavirus, that I can start thinking of money and bills and payments of things, and it can cause me to lose sleep. But I think the reminder that God is present and full of care and provision for me, I think, gives me opportunity to rest.
Hmm. So that's a good word. Maybe if you're listening and let's say money is an issue, God is present. God is your provider, and we can rest. And so that's a good reminder. Thank you, Rob, for that reminder. All right. So relationships, money, and then you mentioned health. What would you say to those who are maybe experience a health crisis, or maybe it's someone who's grieving because, let's say, they lost a spouse due to the coronavirus, or a loved one, and this has happened. So what would you say to them?
I think in general health issues, we're always concerned, and I think it's important to make distinction between concern and anxiety, because there are things that are our responsibility. Right now, I guess it's washing your hands, keeping some sort of distance from people. But end of the day, I think the responsibility and the concerns are different. And anxiety, I think, begins to do a forecasting. It starts to look to the future and only expect destruction and bad things and God's absence. And I think that's where being reminded that God is still present even in the midst of health threats, because everywhere you go, it feels like, I remember walking in the grocery store the first time after it really exploded around here, and it was just like, I feel like I'm in some sort of video game where there's just threats coming from every direction, and Wow. Can I touch this? And just being overly cautious, but then also, I think the caution and the concern are good. They're going to lead you to do things that we should be doing, but I think when we begin to forecast and think the next shoe is going to fall, that God's not going to be present, those begin to, I call it populating a narrative that's just not true. And I always bring people back to, well, what is true? And that's an open-ended question, that you get to say things that you know are true, and you don't get to say things that you're speculating or forecasting or just concerned about. I think you bringing yourself back to the facts gives you something concrete, and that includes God's word. What is concrete? What can I trust? What do I know? And I think that begins to order what is my next step, not what does tomorrow and what is next week. And is that helpful?
Yeah, it's very helpful. Well, I appreciate you giving that word of encouragement and that perspective. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you just kind of spending this time with us. So thanks again, Rob, for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.